From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Moscow's bid to become a member of the World Trade Organization still hinges on agricultural agreements. A new rating of the global economic outlook says it appears to be on the road to recovery, and communities in central China are running out of electricity as coal supplies in that nation tighten. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $7.69.5 for the March, up 12.75. May at $7.96.5, up 12.25. And July wheat at $8.07.75, 13.25 higher. Hard red March in Kansas City at $8.26, up 14.25 today. Corn futures March contract $5.99.5, a settlement price up 3 cents. May corn at $6.07, 2.75 higher. July at $6.11, up 2.75, and December futures at $5.42.75, up 1.25. The January beans at $13.15.25, up 16.5 cents. The March at $13.27, up 16.5, and the May at $13.34.75, up 16.25. Next year's November beans at $12.42.5, up 12.75 for the day. January bean meal futures at $3.51.50, up $3.70. January soybean oil at $54.98, up 85 on the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the December live cattle futures at $102.77.5, up 60 cents. February at $105.22.5, 72.5 higher. January feeders at $120.72.5, up $1.70. The March at $122.17.5, up $2.22.5. And the February lean hogs today, $76.07.5 a hundredweight, finished 12.5 cents higher. April futures up 7.5 at $80.55. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures, $88.81, up 79 cents. Ethanol at $2.24.4, 2.6 higher. Natural gas at $4.24.4, up 17.9. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.48.7, 1.3 higher. Gold contracts finished the December futures up $6.90, a settlement price at $1,385.50, and the Dow now just about 7 points higher at 11,498. The U.S. dollar trading 80.62 is up 25.5, and the CRB index, or 0.255, that is, the CRB index at 324.27 is up 3.65 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. A special weather statement has been issued for snow gradually tapering off late this afternoon for cities including Bloomington, Normal, Champaign, Urbana, and Danville. A band of light to moderate snow will continue to shift slowly across our area to the north and east of the area this afternoon. Snow accumulations in this narrow band will range from 1 to 2 inches, locally higher amounts, especially from near Lakin, southeast to just north of Bloomington, Normal to Champaign. As the snow shifts off to our east by late afternoon, we may see some light freezing drizzle develop across the area, especially after dark. Any ice accumulation, says the National Weather Service, tonight will be less than 1/10 of an inch, but enough to cause some travel problems, especially on secondary roads, bridges, decks, and, of course, overpasses. Motorists along and north of Interstate 74 and that corridor should plan on some extra travel time this afternoon due to the light snowfall. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Taking a look now at the agricultural futures markets with us for the afternoon, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
That's an interesting day in the weather and an interesting day in Chicago as you take a look at what's been happening there. Corn futures in the December contract at 9 next year at 542 and 3 quarters, and the March contract made it through the $6 area, settled just a half cent below $6. I suppose that's in the offing, do you think?
Yeah, we saw some strength from last week's foreman numbers. Not quite as many acres in the new crop that they were looking for, giving the market reason to stay supportive here as we go through the winter to assure we have some acres to work with this spring. Then, two, near-term weather. We've seen sort of a slowdown in movement across the Midwest, and it's going to take some higher prices here to sort of shake some grain loose. But as we move forward here, moving into midweek, I think the trade's priced in some more bean sales to Asia. They continue to have to be a buyer in the world market to secure supplies for their country and their needs as they continue to see somewhat profitable crushing margins throughout their bean industry there, Todd.
Yeah, take a look at those Informa numbers. They dropped their idea of what they were thinking about for numbers for the week. I don't have them in front of me. And I was traveling most of the week last week, so don't recall them off the top of my head. But they weren't all that big and certainly didn't appear to be big enough to meet the needs of demand as it's laid out at this point for the corn market.
Yeah, as far as the old crop goes, they were up a million, down a million bushels. So non-eventful there. As far as corn acres go, an additional 2.5 million. The trade feels we need 4 million. It depends what type of yield you put on it. So, that's going to be the thing. It's going to make next summer's weather pattern very front and center newsworthy item. You can have low acres, but you have decent yields that satisfy the bushels needed, then vice versa. You have high acres to work with, but low yields is not going to be enough to so supply demand. But not just demand here in the U.S. we're looking at. Demand worldwide. So we'll continue to see what the numbers are in the January report for old crop inventory. Then as far as we go into March, we'll see what producers are thinking as far as new crop goes. But world situation, wheat. Australia had a little bit of a drier pattern and seeing harvest activity pick up, even though they are forecasted to have ample supply of wheat. The question is good quality wheat as they get more in the harvest, see how that turns out.
Are you advising any of your folks to go ahead and make a sale as we get the old crop in that $6 range?
Yeah, we continue to promote the idea of moving the cash and replace ownership on paper. A lot of the clientele we work with is pretty well sold up and to where they want to be. As far as any more new additional sales, always like holding a little inventory into next spring to see what happens. If demand stays somewhat good, I think basis will continue to improve as we go into next summer. So if you're one that's got some on-farm storage in a bin, pretty good quality, I'd take a close look at planning on holding that inventory in the next summer. But, no, you got to reward the market. These are profitable levels. Got to get rid of the old crop and focus on 2011.
And what are you hearing about basis? I'm reading Central Illinois basis from, 1,200 to 3 over the March.
Yeah, it's somewhat it's hung in there quite well. At these price levels, you'd think we'd see a fairly wide basis, but it's pretty well fairly hung in there. As we move along in here, basis will firm up in the south since the north is pretty well shut down for now. It's just a typical seasonal event that takes place. But overall, demand remains robust. I think that as we move along in through here, that the main little portion of the crop we have left will see significant basis improvement as we go into next summer.
And your thoughts on the soy complex, please?
We're sort of in the hands of the weatherman in the southern hemisphere. Real mixed ideas. As we all know, it's a large growing area, so there's always going to be somewhere too wet, too dry, too hot, too cold. But it's going to be real important for the southern hemisphere to produce a fairly good crop. We kind of feel it's going to be more critical as we come back from Christmas break here and see what type of news we get out of that country there as far as what their weather forecast is as we go into the first part of January.
Anything else you want to make sure we know about before I let you go for the day?
Just hope everybody has a good holiday. It's been a remarkable market this past year. We look for some good markets as we move into 2011. Most markets are closed Friday, and I hope everybody has an enjoyable and safe holiday.
Yeah, just on that note, most markets are closed Friday. They'll be open again on Monday. Are they open Sunday night? I don't think so. Probably Monday morning, but they don't close on Friday the 31st, do they?
Well, our calendar changes about every 6 hours revisions, but as of right now, there will be some Marcus Electronics Sunday night.
Okay, thank you so much.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Of course, you can hear what Kurt Kimmel had to say again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. Another address you ought to visit is the Farm Doc website. They've got some brand new cash bids up there. Weather and the markets from Chicago. If you haven't been there for a while, to check out their website, the Farm Doc site has updated with some new information. Really good stuff. I think you'll like it. It's at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. And our own website here is willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll have all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, Moscow's WTO negotiator says today that Russia's 17-year bid to join the World Trade Organization still hinges on agreements being reached on meat imports and agricultural subsidies. Russia hopes to finally join the 153-member trade body next year after securing formal backing from the European Union this month and resolving some key issues with the United States. But potential stumbling blocks remain, including the size of support for the agricultural sector and the access to the meat market. Russia, the biggest export market for U.S. chicken meat, regulates imports with a quota system to stimulate domestic production. Fitch Ratings says in its latest quarterly global economic outlook that despite significant financial market volatility, the global economic recovery is proceeding in line with its expectations. Fitch has marginally revised up its projections for world growth to 3.4% for 2010 from 3.2%, 3% for 2011 from 2.9%, and 3.3% for 2012 from 3.0%. Fitch has raised its U.S. growth forecasts by 0.6% in both 2011 and 2012 to 3.2% and 3.3%, respectively. Unemployment is now also expected by Fitch to be 9.1% in 2011 and 8.7% in 2012. Communities in central and northern China are facing power cuts and rationing as winter coal supplies fall short of surging demand. The problem has been complicated by the coal producers' unhappiness over price controls that are crimping their profits. China depends on coal for more than three-quarters of its electricity and also to fuel centralized winter heating systems in northern cities. Coal suppliers have also held back on shipments to power companies because contract prices for coal are below market prices. Russia may extend its ban on grain exports beyond July 1st of next year if it fails to harvest 80 million tons of cereals next year. Farmers have sown 15.5 million hectares of land with winter grains for the 2011 harvest, down from 18 million hectares a year ago. The government aims to increase the area to be sown with spring grains to compensate. However, there are currently problems with fertilizers. Fertilizer producers have been delaying supplies to producers because on January 1st, they are due to raise prices by 12.8%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. My special thanks to Dave Dickey for filling in for me last week. As I was traveling with the Farm Doc team on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, speaking of which, you can find those presentations, the PowerPoints, in their entirety on the website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. That's www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. The Illinois Farm Economics Summit presentations are there now. Now, up next, you know, field tiles play a very important role in the nation's food production system. I'll have more on why. When a piece of land is tiled, more than water is wicked away. It's a simple concept and it makes perfect sense. When the city puts in a storm sewer, it moves water and anything that water can carry through the system. It picks up leaves and paper and shoes and sticks and whatever else the rushing water during a heavy rainfall can move. The grates on the sewer system strain out some of these items. Well, field tiles work pretty much the same way, with the exception that the grate is the soil around the tile. It doesn't generally have much of an above-ground inlet. The idea is to get the water to move through the soil profile, into the tile, and then into the watershed, the streams, the rivers, the ditches. It dries the soil out so it can be more easily farmed. Well, like the storm sewers, field tiles pick up and carry more than just water. Both actually carry a lot of fertilizer. Storm sewers pick it up directly from the lawns. The field tiles pick it up in solution. Some of the oldest field tiles have been around for more than 100 years, so this is not a new experience, draining water from a field to make it more farmable. Well, tiling a field is one of the best, easiest ways to make it more productive over the long term. The world needs that productivity, but there's a trade-off. Isn't that always the case? Those tiles carry away some of the plant food farmers apply to the field. These flow down streams and cause plants to grow more hardily in places like, well, the Gulf of Mexico. It's a nicer way of saying fertilizers carried down the Mississippi cause algae blooms, the dead zone, hypoxia. Mark David at Illinois has been tabulating the data that correlates the two events. Here's an interesting commentary on their economic relationship.
The dilemma with hypoxia is it really hasn't caused a clear economic decline.
We shouldn't read anything more into Mark David's comments other than the two, field tile and the hypoxia zone, can or are related, and that the government has not moved to monitor or regulate one or the other because there isn't an economic implication related to the hypoxia zone. There is, however, clearly an economic and food security issue related to field tiles and their importance to the nation. So what to do? Well, Mark David says the thing to do is to concentrate conservation solutions in the areas that need it most. Those areas are easy to find, but it's much harder to convince Congress to pony up a targeted national solution.
Every state wants their share. So if half the money ends up going to Montana, You know, I mean, the problem is nobody in the Senate or in the legislature said, really, if we want to do nitrate, we need to focus on these dark areas. Mm-hmm. Well, but this guy's going to say, well, that's not fair. Montana should be getting a share of that money. So you end up, you know, paying for some structure out here that has no impact.
That, in a nutshell, thanks, David, has been the failure of conservation programs. The money to fund structures and solutions is spread into areas where they have no impact. He says farming's a risk-laden business, and the solutions to the environmental issues make it riskier. The free market has not supplied an economic incentive to deploy those solutions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason from U of I Extension. Taking a look now at the cash grain markets. Along with us on the phone is Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like it's going to be nasty and ugly for the afternoon. Better get the four-wheel drive fired up and ready to go home, I think.
I think that's a good idea. I think we should all just be very cautious and maybe leave all a little early today. What do you think?
Well, it only depends on... Yeah, that's true. It really depends on whether your phones are ringing there with people wanting to haul corn in. Is that the case or not?
Well, we are getting a lot of grain hauled in. That has picked up quite a bit here. As far as selling, we're getting closer to that magical $6 flat price number on corn. So I think we will see some movement. I've heard there's some movement at some of the processors that have been paying $6 flat price. So I think $6 is one of those numbers that will generate a little bit of movement. We probably will see basis levels back off a little bit temporarily. But once that $6 wave of farmer selling gets absorbed, then I look for basis levels to continue their climb higher.
Now, your basis has been about 8 cents for quite a while. Some of the rest of them much wider for corn in the area, but it looks like everybody closed up in the last week. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I don't think the farmer movement has been very, very good, and as elevators probably get some trains loaded and have some space available, they've improved their basis, and like I say, there'll be a little bit of farmer movement, but eventually I think you'll see basis levels continue to get better.
End users playing overs for both corn and soybeans?
Yes. That's the only way to get it to move right now. If the board continues to do what it did, you know, today and last week, the board will do some of this work and basis levels won't have to do as much. But at some point in time, assuming the futures market stalls out, basis levels will have to do some of that work then.
I think it was earlier in the month of December you thought farmers were correct to hold on to their corn and their beans, I suppose, at that point. Are you still of that mind now?
Yes. More so beans. I think with the La Nina year down in South America, they've got a long ways to go before we know what they've got. Any kind of problems at all really throws a monkey wrench into the supply and demand table. So I think there's a lot of upside potential yet for beans, and there probably is some upside potential for corn as well. But $6 corn, it's hard to argue with $6 corn.
Your bids for the day, please.
$5.91 on the cash corn. New crop corn is $5.08. $13.05 on the cash beans, $12.02 for new crop, and $7.48 for next year's wheat.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Anderson. I'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027. It's National Sangria Day. It's also St. Dominic of Silos Day, patron of shepherds. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, the first successful cotton spinning machine built using American resources began in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Samuel Slater was the first in the U.S. to reliably duplicate cotton spinning machines. Slater had immigrated secretly from England in 1789 with details of Richard Arkwright's machines memorized while an apprentice in a mill. In 1868, Harvey Samuel Firestone was born. An American industrialist, he started the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company in 1900. In 1906, he teamed up with Henry Ford to provide tires for the Model T. By the 1930s, nearly a quarter of all tires used in the U.S. came from Firestone. His innovations included non-skid tire treads, low-pressure balloon tires, and farm tractor tires. In 1879, Thomas Edison privately demonstrated his incandescent light at Menlo Park, New Jersey. Edison found that cotton filaments could operate for 40 hours inside a glass bulb vacuum. And in 1928, Harry Ramsden opened what would become eventually one of the most famous fish and chips restaurants in the world. The business began in a wooden hut, which still stands today alongside the main restaurant, which seats 250 people. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day is Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's an interesting weather day here in the Midwest, and looks like we're going to have a white Christmas for sure, at least in Champaign County, Illinois.
Yeah, and that's true for most counties here across central northern Illinois and adjacent areas of Iowa and Indiana as a snow system here tracks across the region here today that will produce several inches of snow in its wake. And we have another follow-up system here coming up later on this week on Christmas Eve and on into early portions of Christmas Day in the eastern areas of our region. Again, that looks to produce another round of several inches of snow. Not a big storm per se, but certainly enough to make a white Christmas here. Not only here across the Midwest, but many areas across the north central and northeastern portion of the country are seeing extensive snow cover.
Shall we deal with the weather forecast we're in the midst of right now? It appears that I-74 is kind of a dividing line. Is that right?
Yeah, and a lot of that is just due to this warm front that's helping produce the snow and then even a little bit of mixed precip in areas of in the south of the region there of 74. And again, coming up with the system later on this week, it looks like somewhat of a similar situation, but if anything, the snow band the mixed precip band looks to be even further south as the system coming up later on this week takes a bit more of a southerly track.
Yeah. So how much accumulation do you think we might catch over the next week then?
Well, when all is said and done here over the next week with these systems, an initial call here for central Illinois would be about 6 inches, and then getting up, at least depending on the track of the system, it could be more than that for later on this week. But that would be our initial call at this time.
So that's 6 inches over the next 4 to 5 days, right?
Combining both systems here.
And then you say more snow after that?
It looks like this pattern remains firmly entrenched, Todd, as there's just no sign of it breaking over the next 2 weeks, which takes us through the first few days of the new year. So several more shots of cold, several more shots of snow. It's beginning to look a lot like the middle of winter here.
I suppose so. What do you see in South America?
Well, we see a continuation of dryness across Argentina, while the northern corn and bean acreage did receive some beneficial rainfall over the week, and the southern areas missed out. And that's been the pattern here lately, with the northern areas receiving rain and the southern areas missing out, and very persistent pattern over the next few weeks. So some minor improvement up north, dryness concerns across the southern acreage, and that continues to be the key story here, at least the area of most concern as we end the month of December.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. Be safe on the roadways if you're out there. And make sure you join us again tomorrow. You can always, of course, join us on the web if you'd like to at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.